Are you feeling burnt out, overwhelmed, like you're just an Uber driver to your kids' endless appointments? Do you wonder, is this all there is? Stop driving around and try something different. Book in with Body and Mind Online for expert speech therapy, occupational therapy, psychologist and counsellors via telehealth. I founded Body and Mind Online 5 years ago, and it has since been one of the most inclusive therapy centres in the country. This podcast is my passion project. But I've realized that by not openly recommending Body and Mind Online, I'm leaving many of you to navigate the daunting task of finding the right providers on your own. Stop the struggle and get the support that you and your family deserve. Visit adhdmums.com.au and visit the therapy page to take the first step forward towards a balanced life with Body and Mind Online. Hello and welcome to ADHD Mums. In this podcast, we tackle the tough, often unspoken realities of motherhood, neurodiversity, and mental health. Today's episode is a part of the ongoing mini-series on domestic violence and coercive control, which is a critical and often misunderstood issue affecting women across Australia and beyond. Full credit to Elise Norter. This is her content. I'm just paraphrasing it on her behalf. Elise has 15 years child protection experience. She's worked with the victims in metro areas as well as regional areas such as the Kimberleys. Elise has lived experience with neurodiversity as she's currently supporting her daughter with her ADHD diagnosis down in Tassie. Unfortunately, we had some issues with the audio, so I've had to do a key takeaway message over the top of it. If anyone would like to listen to the original audio, let me know. I can send it to you. Before we dive in, I want to acknowledge that this episode may bring up strong emotions. Resources and support services are linked in the show notes. Today's topic is one of the most asked questions about domestic violence. Why do women stay? It's a question I hear often, sometimes from really well-meaning people and other times from those who just don't understand the complexities of abusive relationships. By the end of this episode, I hope you'll have a clearer picture of the barriers women face and what we can do as a society to better support women. So what is the complex reality of why women stay? Let's start with this. No one wants to be in an abusive relationship, but leaving isn't as simple as packing your bag and walking out the door. Abuse, particularly coercive control, is designed to strip a person of their autonomy, confidence, and their support systems. This leaves victims feeling trapped emotionally, physically, financially. Here are the key reasons why women stay. Unawareness of abuse. Many women don't realize they are in an abusive relationship. Why? Because not all abuse is physical. Coercive control, for example, is a form of psychological and emotional abuse that involves manipulation, isolation, financial control, and gaslighting. That makes victims doubt their reality. 2, isolation. One of the most common tactics used by abusers is to isolate their victims. This can look like discouraging relationships with friends or family, moving the family to a remote location, or controlling when and how the victim can communicate with others. When someone has no support system left, leaving can feel impossible. Next, financial dependence. In many relationships, especially when children are involved, one partner might stay home while the other one works. This financial dynamic can leave women without access to resources or money to leave. For women in this situation, the thought of starting over with no financial safety net is daunting, especially when there are children involved. The thought of changing their children's entire world, ripping them from sport, school they love, their friends, can feel overwhelming. Or if your children are older, they may ask why, and the questions become overwhelming. Next one is safety concerns. The heartbreaking reality is that many women stay because they feel it's safer for them and their children to stay. They feel there's less trauma for the children and for themselves if they stay where they are. When they're in a home, they can monitor their partner's mood, predict behavior, and potentially de-escalate dangerous situations. The fear of what happened if they leave, the fear of whether it's retaliation or losing access to children, can keep them trapped. Also, the role of coercive control. Let's talk more about coercive control. If you'd like to know more about it, I've got a whole episode on it and I will link it in the show notes. It is one of the most insidious forms of abuse. Coercive control isn't about love, it's about power and control. And it starts often subtly. A partner might insist on sharing phone passwords for safety reasons or ask to access bank accounts to help with budgeting. These actions might seem caring, practical at first. You may say, oh, they just love me so much. Over time, these can escalate. The victim may find themselves unable to make even small decisions without their partner's approval. This pattern is what we call boundary creep, where it pushes the victim further and further until they no longer recognize what's normal. You might think, how did that person give all that power away? Why could they not access their own bank account? Why did their partner have access to their phone records? It doesn't start like that. It starts small. And often it's communicated that that's what a relationship is and that my partner just really cares about me. But after a while, you find you have less and less and less control and you don't know how to take it back. Next is the cycle of abuse. Abusive relationships often follow a predictable cycle. The honeymoon phase, which is the love bombing stage, where the abuser showers their partner with affection and attention. Then there's the tension building phase, where small incidents of control or criticism begin to surface, a little simmering pot. Then there's the explosion, the verbal outburst, intimidation, or physical violence. After a while, sometimes the partner can see it coming, but not know how to stop it. And then there's the apology and the reconciliation, where the perpetrator can apologize, promise to change, might even seek help, and they draw the victim back into the relationship. The cycle repeats, keeping victims hopeful that something might improve even as the abuse escalates. This cycle is different for everybody. For some people, this can be a matter of days. For other people, it can be months or years. It looks different for everybody. So how is this related to neurodiversity? For neurodivergent women, the challenges of recognizing and escaping abuse can be amplified. If you've been told you're too emotional or you're the problem your whole life, it's really easy to believe that your partner is right and it really is your fault. This can also get caught up with executive function challenges like planning, organizing, managing finances. This can make logistics of leaving seem really overwhelming, particularly when a lot of these are now controlled or in your partner's hands. This is why community support and advocacy is so critical for neurodivergent women, and also podcasts like this so women can see themselves in the audio. A lot of women don't even realize they're being abused until they've left. So what can we do to support the victims? If you're wondering how to help a friend or family member or even a stranger, here are some steps that you can take. Firstly, recognize the signs. Look for red flags such as withdrawal from social activities, unexplained injuries, vague explanations, a partner who seems overly controlling or critical. For example, I had a friend once who asked me to buy her a coffee at a coffee shop, which I totally didn't mind. But then she really nervously added in that her husband has an app attached to her credit card. And if he sees her having coffee out with someone else, he will ask why he wasn't invited and why she didn't bring him one and want to know who she was with. That would be something to ask more questions about. Next is to be a consistent support. Sometimes the best thing you can do is just to be there. Check in regularly, listen without judgment, and make it clear that you're a safe person to turn to. Even if they are not ready to leave, your support can plant the seed for future action. They at least know they have someone to call. They have somewhere to stay. They have a backup. Next is to advocate change. And this is what this podcast is about. Share it, listen to it. I haven't experienced domestic violence, and you may have not either. But this isn't only relevant if you've experienced it. This is relevant if you are a woman living in Australia. It is very unlikely that you do not know anyone in your circle who is in some type of domestic violence relationship. We need better community resources, earlier intervention, and changes within the legal protections for victims. One of the most important change is prioritizing the removal of abusers from the home rather than displacing women and children. And again, I want to credit Elise Norda from Child Protection who shared this information. I thought it was brilliant. The key takeaway from this episode is that abuse is complex. Leaving isn't simple. You don't just pack a bag, pay for a hotel and leave. It's not that simple. Also, coercive control is subtle, insidious, and often goes unrecognized. There is a chipping away at someone's soul that goes on for years sometimes. And when you have such a lack of confidence in yourself and a little support system because you've been cut off from everybody around you, it can feel completely overwhelming. And also as women, do we sacrifice for our kids? I do every day. And sometimes women make the decision to stay because of safety, or they've left, ended up in a homeless shelter, They've been cut off from all financials. Children haven't had anything that they need, the bare essentials, and they've chosen to return. I really want to say here that if you are ever cleaning out your home, try and find out where the DV shelters and find a drop-off point. When I have the most high-value items that I know that my kids don't appreciate, like a beautiful puzzle that's complete, that no one is playing with, I send the DV shelter a message, because when the children get there, I can only imagine how it would feel as a mother. If you're questioning yourself, you walk in and there's no toys. They've left everything behind. I've got goosebumps talking about it. If anyone has a link to DV shelters nationally where people can message and find a drop-off point, please let me know. I would love to advertise that so then people can give their best quality stuff wherever they can. On average, it takes 7 attempts for a woman to leave an abusive relationship for good. Leaving is not easy. Often as well, sometimes the woman can get trapped that they may have fought back. Let's say, for example, the partner, the perpetrator, has been pestering, abusing them for hours and hours, and eventually the woman turns around and slaps him across the face. This is just an example. And suddenly, the perpetrator who's been coercive, control, emotionally abusing, whatever they've been doing for years, now says that they have been struck and that the abuse went both ways because of the one time the woman lost her temper. Child safety and the family courts are really well aware of all of these issues. Don't let yourself be manipulated by the perpetrator telling you that it's you as well to seek help. Go and ask for help. And also be there for each other. Court systems, both personal and society, play a critical role in helping victim survivors leave safely. Thank you so much for listening to this important episode of ADHD Mums. I really want to credit Elise Norder. If this conversation has sparked something in you, whether it's a realization about your own life or a desire to help others, please know that support is available. Go into the show notes. Remember, everything you do spreads awareness. Whether it's sharing this episode or talking about these issues, it makes a difference. Until next time, take care and thank you for being here.